Hey, everybody, and welcome into episode 11 of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. I'm here with Andy, as always.
Hey.
I think I've been switching between calling you Andy and Andrew each episode. But
I go by either or.
But it'll keep people guessing. So we're 8 days in, a little bit farther, actually. We're doing this a few days after day eight, but I've only watched up to about day eight myself, so we're going to kind of do this sort of blind. So I guess we'll just jump right in to day one. And I felt like it was like Henka Town on day one. I don't know if you noticed that too. I just felt like there were a lot of matches with Henkas.
Yeah, there were quite a few in there. And I know, so like, I think an obvious one that I saw was Midera Fuji. He's the rookie this tournament. And he had actually had a post about interview where he had admitted that he kind of was going to Henka because he was nervous he was actually going to lose the match.
Yeah.
And I don't think you get that a lot when people actually admit to that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's pretty rare. I actually didn't realize that he admitted to it.
It was the... I think it was the English NHK broadcast had the interview afterwards, and they interviewed him, and that's essentially what he was saying, was that he really thought he was going to lose the first match. And maybe that's just because he wanted to, you know, come out of the gate hot and get a good win. So what better way to do it than a Henka?
The Henka thing, man, and I don't understand that. Like, I mean, for him, yes, I think that makes sense. You know, being a rookie, you got the jitters. It's your first fight up there, like. Get a win in there and, you know, feel good about it. But I don't understand the Henka on day one. I don't understand.
Yeah, usually, and I wish there was an official ruling when a thing's called a Henka, but they usually give it some justified name to make it not be a Henka. But I'd want to go back and see, like, you know, does this happen more often in the beginning? Or I expect it always, like, late. Like, when someone's desperate for a win or they've lost a couple row, like, couple...
They're trying to get out of a funk, you know, just like... Because, I get it. I don't like it, but I get it.
Yeah, and he went against Akua, who he has some experience with. He's 3-4 now against them. So he's had 6 matches in... Looks like most of it was in Juryo and a couple in Makishita. So he's had some experience. He was two and four at the time, and now he's 3-4. So maybe that was something else. He's like had a history with a guy. He knows what he's capable of. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to do something that I might not have done. I don't know all his matches, so maybe he's never pulled a Henk on him.
No, but, and I mean, it wasn't successful. It was it was a Henka attempt.
True,
he ended up winning anyway.
Yeah, because they had to do a redo on that match.
Right.
If I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then he eventually wins it.
And so I think another, and obviously I don't want to, again, go day by day here, but Ichinojo started out pretty strong too, and is looking pretty good now.
Through 8 days, he's 5-3. He's won the first two, 3 days in a row. Pull up what I have for my list here. So his first...
He's like a little... Like, he was on a little tear there in the first. And they were dominating wins. Like, they were... Like, yeah, so he won his first two and then lost to Oyama. But then won two more. And the wins that I saw, they were pretty... formidable wins, and that's I think that's pretty, again, rare for him. I think we bring him up a lot in like he usually has pretty up and down on the Tachi-ai, and then is pretty hit or miss. It depends on how much effort he wants to put in. Sometimes it looks like he doesn't want to put in effort, which I'm sure is not the case, but it's usually he seems to falter when things aren't going his way. But the wins that he had were pretty pretty dominant, I'll
yeah,
say.
And I think some of the matches, if I remember correctly, he's looked kind of quick too, or quicker than usual. I mean, he's the biggest guy, I believe, out there. so his quickness is still going to be pretty slow compared to others, but he's had a lot of good touchy eyes, and just getting in there and yeah, having some convincing wins. I mean, he's beaten, he's had wins against.
Yeah. So he's beat, Terasu Yoshi, yep. Hoshu Shoru.
Yep.
Koto Eko, mm-hmm. Who is always, kind of, well, not always. I'm thinking of Koto Yuki. I was going to mm-hmm. say is kind of hit or miss, but these days anyway. Asunyama, nope, that's not Asunyama.
Akiseyama, who's
yeah,
if it's for me, I think is one of the more surprises of this tournament so far. So this is only his second tournament. I think it's been 28 tournaments since he's been up here, mm-hmm. And he started off 6-0, now sitting at 6-2, at least through 8 days. He's 35 years old. I didn't realize seeing him fight, because I saw him a lot in Juryo in November. Mm-hmm. He was sitting atop there, and I didn't realize that he was 35, because he, I guess I kind of see it now that they mention it, but I didn't see it when they were, when I didn't know his age.
That's definitely, you're entering retirement zone.
Yeah.
At that age, for those who may not know, that's, I would say the average lifespan of a sumo is probably in the range of like 32 to 35. That's when you're going to see a lot of retirement starting to take place. So, yeah, I feel like, yeah, that's for having been in Juryo so recently too, at least within recent memory, and still being fighting in the upper ranks, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. And on day 7, that was the first loss that Akiseyama actually took. And I think that might be where you could kind of see his, I don't want to say his age was showing, but he had really bad footwork. He ended up like slipping up and he kind of fell. So it was kind of a soft loss, but he, like Akiseyama, ends up taking another loss on day 8. I don't think he was actually a legit shot at winning the Yusho. We've seen, you know, even last year it was Tokushoru who won at Juryo 17 or at Magashira 17. Mm. I didn't really think Akiseyama would have a chance, but he was still a part of the leaderboard, at least going into, he's, as of day 8, he's still up there with 11 other individuals sitting at 5-3.
Yeah, it's that's weird that it's like there's a lot of 5-3 records going on at day 8. It's, and again, it's not like, it's not very, it's all over the board. It's not just the upper rank guys. It's some of the lower guys too, I feel like.
Yeah. So yeah, I correct myself. Akiseyama was 6-2 through 8. But yeah, for 5-3, I mean, there's a whole bunch of guys in there. I you know, for having three losses, it's only a 6% chance, out of the last 540, tournaments that a person with three wins or three losses has actually gone on to win the tournament. So
that's a good stat.
Yeah.
So it's 6% chance if you're going to day eight.
We'll round up. Well, not going into day 8, but just three losses overall.
Right,
But yeah, so if you have three losses, it's only a 7% chance that people have won with three losses. So most of it is 2-1, and then you have 14% for 15-0. And I think most of that 14% of the 76 total, like a third of that is just Hakuho by himself. Just straight 15-0 records for several tournaments in a row.
Yeah, talk about skewing the records.
Yeah, I should have I should have looked at that number without Hakuho in there to see how many tournaments of everyone else has won without him. So
yeah, still like,
yeah. So Hakuho's 15 undefeated tournaments out of that 76. No one has more than 8 is the second highest. That's Fudabayama back in late 30s to 40s, and then Taiho in the 60s, and yeah, in mid to late 60s.
Speaking of 5-3 guys, another guy who kind of came out strong and looked good in the first 5 days that I was watching, kind of obviously on a downturn on days 4 and 5, but Onosho looked really good.
He's
like dominating wins. Like, again, another guy kind of in the Ichinojo sense of just like, I'm less surprised by Onosho, like, you know, winning in a dominant fashion, but
yeah,
but still, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to get my hopes up with Ono Show again. We do this every Bosch show where like he should be performing better than he actually does. But I mean, day one he pretty much blew away Takayasu, which Takayasu's a veteran, just like I don't know how many tournaments they have in comparison to one another, but you know, Takayasu's been in Ozeki. It's someone that Takayasu probably should lose to, but he got blown away. And then Ono Show went on to day two, convincing win over Taro Nofuji, who hasn't looked his best either this tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ono Show took on Taka No Show, beat him. So that's a couple guys up in the Sanyaku.
Yeah, so and Taro Nofuji, again, another guy, 5-3.
Yep.
Not someone I would expect in a tournament like this with no Yokozuna,
yeah,
and a lot of guys missing to be sitting at 5-3 right now. I feel like this was a tournament of his to lose.
Yeah, there's a good chance that he had a chance to win this. I'm thinking now if he even gets Ozeki next tournament, that'll be his hang up right now with having at least through eight. He only has five. And I think through the last tournaments, he had 21. So he would have needed at least 12 this tournament. So he could win out right now.
Mm.
But I don't really see him taking the next eight matches in a row in order to get 12 wins. I don't think they'll let him in with 32. But
yeah, especially if it's not that great of a performance overall.
No.
I think he'd be hard-pressed to get him in there mm-hmm. with the performance so far. Because again, like, I mean, he's not fighting slouches by any means, but you know, he lost to Ono Show, who's mm-hmm. he lost to Daisho,
who's having a great tournament.
Yeah,
so
yeah, so he's losing to guys that he's beaten in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Although he does have a history of losing to Daisho now that I'm looking at it, and Ono Show. Last tournament he lost to Daisho, the tournament before that he lost to Ono Show. So he did beat Mitake Umi.
Mm-hmm.
And Okinomi, who was on a roll, he beat him on day eight. I don't know. This is a really tough basho, I think. I think everyone is just kinda out of whack with the whole COVID thing and so many people being out and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I forget who on Twitter, but there was one account, and I apologize who said it, that I believe the stat was that there had never been someone going into day nine, so through day eight, that has ever had a two-win lead. So typically, there's always a guy with at least one loss if someone has an 8-0 record.
Yeah.
So Daisho's, you know, he's got his Kachikoshi, he's got his eight wins, you know, he'll be promoted next tournament, likely moving up. Probably to take over for Mitake Umi, since Takeyumi's sitting at 3-5 right now.
Mm.
But we could be looking at another first time winner. Just in general, I was kind of anticipating a new January winner to, you know, just in that month alone for mm-hmm. the seventh different year in a row. But Daisho has looked good. I mean, he beat all three Ozeki on the first 3 days. They pretty much just fed him to the wolves and was like, all right, well, here you go. Good luck. This is what you're going to do.
Enjoy that.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, he beat Asunyama, who's coming off an injury. Asunyama's sitting at 5-3, though. Takakeshi, who's looked awful, and we'll get to him. Just surprisingly bad. I'm just shocked. Shodai, who's doing very well, coming off an ankle injury. I didn't know how he would respond, but in day one, Shodai looked really good in his wins. Yeah, he's beaten everyone in Sanyaku, Mitake Umi, Takayasu, Taro Nofuji, Taka No Show. And then on day eight to get his Kachikoshi, he beat Kagayaki down at Magashira 6. Mm. So he beat everybody in Sanyaku, just straight seven days of Sanyaku guys.
And that's what we were talking about last episode, was which one of those guys at the top could run the, you know, the gambit on Sanyaku.
So I went back, listen to the recording, and you said Daisho is no slouch.
Yeah.
sitting at 8-0 right now. Don't know if he's the favorite yet.
No,
but he'll, you know, he's at least, you know, he's got a chance. He's got that 2-win lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he just needs to settle down, don't get too nervous, just kind of do what he's doing, because he's looking good. He's looking really, really good.
Yeah, and we always kind of make fun of the joke that they, or not the joke, they always make fun of the thing they say, you know, in the episode, the post fight interviews, if I could speak the English language tonight. Just do your best sumo, like, and again, that's what he needs to do. He needs to just go out and don't overthink it. Don't psych yourself out. And again, mental sport. I say that every single episode. This has got to be one of the most mentally taxing sports in the world. And so just don't freak yourself out, I think, and I think he can take it.
Yeah, what could work in his favor is I think when people get nervous about when, you know, when it's like three or four guys on the top of the board and the guy who's in first then falls and a couple more people get in there, is if you don't have enough of a lead. So he could take a loss and it's not the end of the world because he'll still have that one match lead. So if he takes a loss, hopefully he does bounce back and he, you know, just gets right back on track and he's not one of the guys who, you know, he's got his eight wins. So now that's, you know, that's all he's aiming for. But no one just aims for eight wins. Like no one comes in. He's like, oh, I just want a winning record. Maybe besides Ozeki, who, you know, Kadoban for, you know, Shodai and Asanoyama, where they're like, you know, I want to get my eight wins. I'll take what I can get after that.
Yeah, I think get the hell out. But
Correct.
yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, so got to definitely keep an eye on Daisho going into the following days. The Sadagatake guys not doing that well. This
No.
basho whatsoever. I think across the board they're all struggling pretty, not mightily, but definitely struggling.
Yeah, Kota no Waka down in market share of 15. He's 5-3. You know, it's not bad. He's still fighting bottom of the Banzuke though. You know, bottom of the rankings there. So, but this is his second best start since he's had since his debut, in which his debut he finished at 9-6. So really he just needs to win another 5 of the last 8 days and he'll have a better record than when he first debuted. And yeah, Kota Shoho is bad.
It's not going well for Koto Sho right now.
I think and we've seen this with younger guys who came up who have come up and they don't perform well. I think last tournament it was Kiribayama, who I don't think performed well up in the top two or three Magashira ranks. I forget which one where he was. And the same thing with Wakatakakage. I think they hit that top tier. And that's where you start getting some of those tougher guys that, you know, if nothing else, you're getting some experience.
Yeah.
It's, you know, 0-8. I mean, come on. I mean, look at your first, this first 5 days. Taro Nofuji, former Yusho winner. Takanosho, doing pretty well. Tamawashi, veteran. Shodai, Yusho winner from just two tournaments ago. Takakesho, last tournaments. I mean, he lost to Takakesho. It was Takakesho's two of his first 8 day wins was to Kota Shoho. He got Hokuto Fuji, Asanoyama. I mean, you're expected to face these guys, and yeah, he's not
And
performing well, but
it's a
it's good.
variety of former winners, veterans, and guys who are real hot right now.
And
So it's
we even said that last episode that the Senyaku division is pretty stacked. And I mean, besides Daisho, everyone else is, you know, 5-3, 6-2. Like no one's performing exceptionally well in the Senyaku. Then that's just because it's a tough division right now. I think there's a lot of guys up there that are performing well typically. Mitakeomi struggling a little bit, but he's still no, take your quote. Still no slouch. I think Takayama can be a surprise upset once in a while when he's not performing well overall.
I feel like we need like a foghorn sound effect or something because I'm going to drop my hot take
Beow, beow, beow,
and
beow,
it's Mitakeumi gets his eight wins. That's
beow. Ooh.
my hot take for this tournament.
That's a bold statement at 3-5.
I think he gets them. So
Yeah. Because I think, yeah, for Mitakeumi, I mean, could be a bold statement. So the last time he was 3-5, he finished 7-8, and that was also the last time that he actually only had he had three had 5 losses in 8 days. So numbers not in your favor, but we'll see if he bounces back. I think he has a chance.
that like hot take, sumo hot take.
And it has it have an echo and everything. I can hear it now. No one else can, but I got it. I got that
It's
sound.
good. So I want to talk a little bit about our boy, not our boy from Shimane Ken, but the boy from Shimane Ken, Okunomi. What are your thoughts on, is he going to continue? Like, I mean, he has been up and down a little bit. Two wins, two losses, two wins, two losses. Do you think he gets his 10 at this rate? I don't know.
Okonomi is sitting at 4-4, so he'd have to win 6 of his last 8. And I don't think he does. I think sitting at 4-4 is pretty tough. I mean, if he has a chance that he gets his Kachikoshi, maybe, where he just needs to win, he just needs to split it again. He needs to split the last 8 days like he did for the first 8 days. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think 10. I could still see 8 because he'll have probably a couple easier opponents coming up on the back half of the tournament.
Yeah,
that he might have a chance to have an upset on. Because through 8, he's got a. He's lost to Tarnafuji, lost to Tobizaru, lost to Tamawashi, and lost to Takakagi, but he's beaten, or Kagayaki, there we go. I'm making up names right now.
Yeah.
But he's beaten Endo, Tochinoshin, who I want to talk about in a few minutes, Ryuden, and Meisei, who Meisei is part of the leaderboard as well. So he's beaten some good guys. I just, he'll have to win it outright to see. He'll have to get at least 6 more out of the last 8. And I don't know if that'll happen.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Tochinoshin.
Yeah, he's looked bad. Cuz at least when Tochinoshin's not performing well, you can just see his physical presence. Like he's pick somebody up and he'll just move them around like they're nothing, and he's not doing a whole bunch of that this tournament. Which kind of surprises me, but I thought I saw him limping after day 2 or day 3. Let me see if I have it here. I should have it noted.
I mean, there have been, who did I see? I saw on, now I'm blanking too. Ikiwe, who I was going to mention while you're looking for that, on day 4, because he's been up fighting in the Mukuchi division. And he won on day 4 and then looked pretty badly hurt. And it didn't even seem like there was anything to, again, not trying to undersell his injury that he may have sustained there. It just seemed like his body's just telling him no at this point. It's making me kind of sad.
Yeah, another one of the guys that we follow, and we've said this before, would love to meet. Seems like a good guy to cheer and or to hang out with, chill and have a biru. just hang out with. I saw his record down in Juryo and it wasn't looking good, where he could end up dropping down to Makushita, no longer being a secretary, he's not going to get a paycheck. Maybe you just retire and go about your business. I don't know, but yeah, he's kind of torn up. But
he did fight up, and I'm looking now. I swear, I thought I saw him fighting on day 4 in the Makuchi. I guess I could be mistaken. Maybe he didn't. Maybe I just saw some Juryo highlights. But
yeah, so Ikioi through 8 days has faced only Juryo guys, looks like.
So I must have caught it might have been, I was watching the Japanese broadcast, so it may have been like a replay or something of something that happened earlier, which would probably speak to why he looked injured. Maybe they were highlighting the fact that he got hurt.
He's beat Yago, Ryuko, Oho, who is Taiho, who we mentioned earlier, the second most Sensho Yusho, so 15-0 records. He's the grandson of him. Through day 8, so he's 3-5, not looking super good, but let's see if he can bounce back, get his 8 wins, and kind of just he'll kind of just tread water down at the bottom of Juryo to mid Juryo until he kind of retires. I think, unfortunately, I really like the guy, he seems like a great character. It could be time to hang up. I thought he might have considered it last tournament, getting back to Tochinoshin. So yeah, day 1, he looked like he was limping. He took a win on day 1. and his knees have always been his huge concern. And I don't know if, because I mean, that's where most of his strength is going to come from. I mean, he is, then again, he's upper body jacked as well, but I'm sure there's a ton of leg strength involved.
Yeah. Having done some squats with sumo wrestlers. Yeah. It's,
yeah, you know, that's fair. We have first-hand experience with squats. It is a pain. And then just seeing them work out is also something ridiculous. Like, I don't want to go too far into it, but I think what we saw when we were there is, we saw Kota Shigeki, he just threw another Rikishi on his shoulders and he was just doing squats with him.
Yeah, he was doing squats with another human being.
Like,
so,
probably,
yeah.
You're probably at least 200 pounds, could be more. I don't know. I forget who exactly he picked up, but I was like, is he squatting a man? Like, is that over there squatting another guy? But yeah, it's definitely a lot of leg strength. But yeah, he lost in day one. You know, or he took a day one win, but looks like he was injured. He lost day two to Okunomi. I don't think Tochi No should lose to Okunomi.
No. That was actually, I remember watching that and noting it. And yeah, that was surprising. You don't lose to Okunomi if you're tearing a Fuji.
I mean, their head to head right now is 9-8 in favor of Tochi No should. So it's a pretty close.
It's closer than I thought. But
yeah,
I don't feel like that matchup is good for Okunomi. He's kind of more like a Haruma Fuji kind of style fighter,
mm-hmm.
More so than like a Tochi No Shin style fighter where it's just raw strength, or size. He's more of like, he's got a similar build to Haruma Fuji, I feel like.
Yeah,
and he was more of like an agile kind of like a big guy, like a tall guy, but a little more agile.
Yeah, and then day three lost to Taro Fuji, which. At this point, I'm kind of not surprised when anyone loses to Taro Fuji. I still think he's pretty competitive. Beat Endo, so he lost to Asanayama, Ozeki, Shodai, Ozeki. He lost to Takakesha, who was struggling. Like, if you want to talk about a guy who's looked bad, Takakesha, you probably shouldn't lose to him because this is just the tournament to beat Takakesha. And
hasn't looked good.
And then Takanosho. So he's lost the guys that I think he should be able to beat with his strength. But once again, if he's just lost it because it looked like a day one limp, it could just be his, general limping, where, he does it after every match because he's just so banged up.
Yeah. I mean, it's his worst tournament so far, currently, if he kind of stays at this pace since last January.
Yeah. It won't be a good tournament for him.
Yeah. Yago's been showing up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I like that. Always a big fan of easy to pronounce names. Yago being up there. You said, who did you mention that we wanted to touch base on?
So Takakesho, I think, is the obvious choice to touch base on. I think going into the tournament, there were a couple big things that were happening. Mm-hmm. Retirement for Hakuho and Kakaru, which I think has now been moved to March. Kakaru's actually been warned, I think, that if he doesn't perform well, he'll be forced to retire, which I think he was waiting until he got a citizenship to decide what he wanted to do. And I think now that he has it and he wants to be a coach and have his own stable, he'll go into March, he'll do what he needs to do, and then he'll retire. I'll make a bold prediction.
Super Sumo Brothers ultimate prediction.
Takakesho Kakaru will retire after March. I think it's just over for him. I think he's battling a back injury and he stated that he doesn't want to re-injure it. And I think if he hurts it, he doesn't want to hurt it. That's his goal. He should just retire.
Especially if things stay the way they are with like the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're already on the out, it's not worth sticking around right now. You're fighting in front of 20% capacity or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, the money's probably not rolling in like it used to. Hakuho's still around. Like, it's not worth risking permanent physical injury at this point, I feel like.
Yeah.
And especially with the Sumo Association just kind of being the way they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's worth it for him to stick around.
No. And then going back to, we touched the base on this last episode about the whole COVID outbreak. Mm. For some reason, this tournament has felt normal. And I don't know if that's just because it's not mentioned on broadcast that that's a thing. Like, they're avoiding, mentioning Waka Taka Kage and Hakuho, and they haven't mentioned anything about COVID, but I don't know if that's just because they're trying to hide it and they don't want to speak about it. And but
it is weird that it hasn't been talked about at all.
Yeah, maybe we just haven't watched enough. You know, there's,
I'm sure, like the I mean, I'm not sure, but I would assume that the Japanese media is probably bringing it up on a daily basis, or maybe not a daily basis, but on, you know, Nakabe and stuff like that. I'm sure they're talking about it.
Yeah, and members of, so it was the Kokono, maybe we'll go with that. So the home of the Chios, so they were all released from the hospital. So that was a little bit of news that they were all released from the hospital. I don't think they're going to come back and fight, especially either they can't come back or I just wouldn't, because that would, I guess, put them in a chance that they would just be demoted rather than just stay in place. So
yeah, I wouldn't come back. That seems if giving the sumo association any ammo whatsoever seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. So just, you know, take the 15 days off, as long as they don't get demoted, which I don't think they will. It just doesn't feel ethical to force them out and then demote them because of something that they don't necessarily have control over. I suppose if you just don't do anything, then you have control over it, but it's tough in the world that we're living in too.
Yeah, and we talked about that a little bit too. Just them being mildly just not rational with some of their choices lately. So
yeah, I just think having people come back, I think, is a bad idea. Like, some of them have gotten into the crowd. I'm like, still too close for comfort. I probably wouldn't have had anyone in those front set of bleachers or the seats where they actually sit down, with like no food and stuff like that. They've had people close enough where like Endo, I forget, or someone has like run off and like ran into the crowd. And like, that's too close to me. If I'm one, I'm a fan, I don't want anyone that close to me. But also, like, if I'm a wrestler and this person might have COVID and I don't know it, like, I don't want a chance of getting that close to them. I mean, everyone's wearing a mask, so it's not like it's a, you know, free for all in there, but still, there's still fans in there and it's still potential exposure. So yeah, the other headlines were to Fuji.
I was just going to jump back on the Sumo Association again, because I'm watching that tweet you sent me, and I can't let that go.
Oh, so the concussion?
Unnoted.
Yeah,
that took place.
Yeah, so that might be the only thing I know after day 8, because we're recording this in day 10. It's already happened, but we have notes for up to day 8. That's all we know. But I saw that video, and it was such a low-ranked guy that I didn't think it was a spoiler for us. So that's why I passed it along.
Yeah,
100% agree that
it's Shonana Nomi. I'm butchering that. I know I am, but yeah, right after the Tachi-ai, they smash heads.
Instantly goes down.
Yeah, no question about it. This guy is heavily concussed. Gyoji calls to fight, to keep going, because it was a false start. And he goes to stand up. He's on his feet and then just falls.
He's got like jelly legs. Like, it's like he has no control over what's going on.
Yeah, he's up and then just goes down.
Yep.
It's
embarrassing, because
they fight again.
If I was him, I might have just like taken a knee. Like, if I'm that concussed,
he doesn't even know where he is.
Nope.
Like, he doesn't remember any of that. I can almost guarantee you that.
You put him in the concussion protocol for any sport, he's out. Instantly. Like,
I mean, he could like die. That looked pretty serious. That was a pretty serious injury. And then they made him fight again. I don't understand the logic there. That's unacceptable, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think
they should be embarrassed.
Yeah, so bad. And maybe the big thing, and funny thing is, we learned this when we were wrestling with the Sadagataka guys. He did go head first, so that was one of the big things that they told us, like, no, don't lead with like your head, like go in with your like face up and kind of chest in. Like, they went head to head, just straight, like you can hear it click, like clack, skull to skull, and then instantly he goes down.
Yep.
And that goes back to the Sumo Association not looking at that and being like, hey, we're gonna disqualify, like call this match. You know, this guy's too, it's like, what if the guy just pulled out right before the match? It's the same exact thing. Just give him the walkover win if you want to consider it that.
Don't if you want to give him the loss for being knocked unconscious because you have some, high level, if that's your belief in if your argument is like this is the job he signed up for, you know what I mean, his body should be able to take this punishment, then just give him the loss if he can't stand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, then at least you save his brain a little bit. It's already scrambled.
Yeah.
But at least then you're not forcing the guy to get back in there and obviously lose.
And like, that won't win you. Like, I think sumo, in order to remain popular, I think it needs to grow its international base. And it has some outreach a little bit here and there, but.
But yeah, especially with all the concussion protocol stuff that's happening in American sports right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that's like, I mean, we've been sending football players to their deaths theoretically for years and years and years, and even still do to this day, but at least now there's a little bit of like attention being given to it.
Yep. Like, I don't even care if you have to delay this for 5 minutes just to be like, hey, let's just ask this guy what day is it, but you
got to get it in before the news, man.
That's true. It's like, and that, I mean, it's sad that that is such a hard cutoff too.
Yep. That's like an actual thing. We're not even joking.
Yeah, having been in Japan to watch sumo before, and it's like, wait, it's 5 o'clock. What? Really? It's over? You're just going to cut it off? And then you have to watch the highlights that are at like 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine there's a lot of people who are like truly dedicated to staying up and watching the highlights. I'd probably just record them and then watch them blindly later on.
Right.
If I miss something.
Right. But yeah, it's... And, again, they don't stop sumo altogether that day, just to clarify. It's like they continue past 5 o'clock, but the television broadcast stops abruptly at 5 o'clock. It doesn't matter if Hakuho is in. They've extended it once or twice, I think, if it's been Hakuho.
Probably.
But
I think most of the time they're like cutting out a little bit of time between, like, you know, the guy who brushes the outside of the ring a little bit, or they make him hurry up a little bit. Yeah. They like try and cut a couple minutes out here and there when they know they're on a crunch, which is just crazy, because you wouldn't see that like in football. Yeah. Imagine if it was like 2 minutes left in the game and then the news just kicked in. Like, everyone's in the Stanley Cup's Game 7. Oh, yep, gotta switch to the news. It's like, wait, what? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm never watching you again. But.
Well, I couldn't let this whole episode go without just expressing a bit of anger about that, because it's just sad.
Yeah. No, it really is.
And you're having trouble keeping guys around already, and you let that kind of stuff happen.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes no sense.
Like, I'm wondering what it would take for any kind of injury for them to just call the match. Because I don't think I've ever seen a full-fledged injury that's ever
stopped
the match.
I've seen awful injuries
post-match.
As a result of a match, yeah.
Yeah, or even having them, like, try and get up in the ring. I think I might have seen one person, and I want to say it's someone who's currently ranked, maybe, who he like fell off and like tore his ACL and he just couldn't get up, and they like brought the stretcher out, and like he didn't even come up and do like the, you know, the crouch and the bow. And
I remember that. I don't remember who it was, but I remember the incident vividly.
Yes. And that was like the only time I've ever,
because it was disgusting. Mm-hmm. And like, you could very clearly tell this man tore something in his knee.
Oh yeah.
And he could not stand, and he kept trying over and over and over, and they wouldn't bring the chair out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, these guys are huge guys. They're your employees, pretty much. They're making this thing go.
Yeah.
And you're just letting these guys further injure a torn something in their knee.
Yeah. And that goes back to just like the whole, like, not giving guys the time off for injuries. Like, you're trying to put your best product forward, but how can you, when you're penalizing Kazuno Sato, Kakaru, Hakuho for pulling out because of injuries? Like, if they're trying to heal, like, it'd be stupid. Like, if an American athlete was injured in anything and they were like, oh, we can't play for 6 months, they're not gonna get dropped from the team. Like, especially if they're a star person.
Yeah.
Like, if Tom Brady tears his ACL, I mean, he did in 2008.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, Brady's over. Yeah, no, yeah, you get to retire now. It's like, well, no, you give him the time to recover. And
yeah, imagine if they cut his time, we'll say, in half to recover from that injury, force him to come back, and he re-injured it. You'd have no Tom Brady. You know what I mean? You wouldn't have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Sorry, everybody else, but not sorry. Yeah. But like,
well, let's say like the greatest, and he's heading on to his seventh ring potentially, right?
Yeah, but
it was disgusting.
Like, yeah, like, you wouldn't. You got to grow your talent and change with the times. Yeah, sure. Back in the day when you had kids lining up to be sumo wrestlers, sure. Mm-hmm. But when you got, like, you're looking for young blood and more, you know, more entertainment, you can't, like, what kid is going to want to do that after seeing that? You know, I mean, it's already bad enough, all the hazing and stuff that happens, that's well known about. I mean, maybe not so much these days, but leading up to it, you already have little interest. But then when that kind of thing happens, you've got a choice between going to play baseball or being a sumo wrestler. You're probably going to choose baseball.
Yeah, I think the safer sports in Japan are less physical than here, because like we have that, like the youth football movement is kind of slowed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like in Japan, where like baseball is very popular, soccer is
even rugby. I would take rugby over sumo at this point,
because it has concussion protocol and things that actually make sense. And it could just be that sumo is old school, which I do appreciate in some aspects.
I do appreciate the fact that they stick to their history and tradition, and that's important. But at the same time, you've been destroying brains for thousands of years, like 1,000 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I would like to see how often, because I haven't seen a lot of guys get straight up concussions, but I'd like to see if there's been any studies done on like long-term brain damage for sumo wrestlers, just in general. Like we've had that with football here in the States. I'd like to see if there's been any kind of study for sumo wrestlers who have had, you know, I don't think they've had like CTE, but just like early on memory loss, things like that, that might've been a, you know, result of, you know, smashing into a guy who weighs 350 pounds.
And I actually, you know, I bet it's less than like football. We'll say like,
American oh, it's
football.
Probably way less, but it still could be, if it's relative to the size of your sport though, that's the important thing to think to take away from
it's
it.
True. Is, yeah. I mean, if you have, you know, what, 25 guys in the upper ranks roughly. And you know, five of those 25 end up with CTE.
Yeah.
Like, like that's a pretty bad ratio. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and especially with how many of those guys rotate in and out of there, like I got to imagine, again, a mental sport. I wonder how much of that stems from CTE. You know what I mean? Like maybe you've just been concussed so many times that it's like depression at that point. You know what I mean? Where it's like starting to set in, you start to get some of the effects of CTE.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in your head, literally and figuratively. So yeah. I don't know. I won't continue to harp on it. I just wanted to go on a little bit of a tangent. And we can switch to something a little more happy and lighthearted. Ryuden's butt wiggle.
He went back to that for a match, and I believe he won. So I don't know if he should continue with it, and that'll get him the victories, because he did that a lot last tournament. And then, you know, it was weird. It was like one of the most like talked about things, I feel like, on Twitter, was like, wait, did we all just see what we thought? What was he doing? He was like bouncing and, you know, shaking his butt. And I hadn't seen him do it quite as much this tournament. Hopefully no one talked to him and said, hey, dude, you need to stop that, because it's weird, which I doubt it. But he got back to that, and got his butt wiggle on.
That's good. I mean, just gotta get back to loosening up a little bit. We're all very,
loosey goosey, you know.
Yeah.
everyone's just trying to win. But yeah, speaking of people who haven't won, and who's looked bad, Taka Keisho. I think going into the tournament, that was one of the other big key items that everyone was talking about. First of all, was the retirements of the Yokozuna, and then the Yokozuna run of Taka Keisho.
Yeah, that's super disappointing for me too. I love Taka Keisho. I think it's just an off tournament for him.
It's a really off tournament. I mean, through 8 days, he's 2-6. He's looked slow. He's not pushing as much as he's used to. You know,
he doesn't look hurt though. At least in the fights that I've seen, I don't like slow to react. Maybe yes, maybe sick. I mean, but I guess if he was sick, there'd be no chance he'd be even fighting at this point.
I hope he see. That's like I hadn't done that. Now that you bring that up, I would hate that if he was actually sick that he fought and didn't say anything, because he's just looked really slow. He hasn't looked great. He hasn't had good like ring presence. He hasn't.
And he was so close to, and he just won, and he's close to getting that Yokozuna promotion. I wonder if he would run the risk.
It's all over. That's what I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, absolutely now, but I mean like, if he thought he could fight through it, you know, to get enough wins, win again, get Yokozuna to not say something about an illness that he had, not saying it's COVID, but
yeah, correct. Yeah.
It could wonder, be,
if he had some kind of injury and he was like, I don't want to pull out because this is my time to finally make it to, you know, I want to be a Yokozuna. This is what he's always talked about. This is what he wanted to do as a kid, and people made fun of him for it because he was too small in stature.
He's so close. Like, yeah. what are you willing to put on the line for your dream? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think if that was the case, probably more likely than not, he would have pulled out in the first few days after he realized, like, after day four, after you lose four in a row.
Yeah.
I feel like he would have probably called it then. But
yeah, I think his belt run was pretty much over at day three. Because like I said, like 6% of people end up having three wins and win the tournament, mm-hmm. or three losses and actually win the tournament. So
he's not losing to bad fighters either, but still it's not.
I mean, he's an Ozeki to him. I mean, he's the highest ranked guy. So technically everyone is worse than him. But yes, there's some guys who in there are, who aren't schmucks that he's losing to, and that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, Mataki Umi, Daisho.
Yeah, Daisho is performing
Fuji,
well.
Hokuto Fuji, Onosho. Those are his losses in the first 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then he's just, he's not looking good. That's super disappointing for me. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping. I mean, and again, I think maybe it's just an off month.
Yeah.
And hopefully he bounces back in the next. I'm gonna keep pulling for him because I'm really looking for that stability at Ozeki, like we always talk about. So
yeah,
because there is none right now.
No, I think we'll and I don't like the teetering where it's like one of them is Katoban and the other two aren't, and then that's how I feel like it's been for the last handful of tournaments, and I don't actually have the numbers where someone in that Ozeki rank has been Katoban, mm-hmm. and they've had to come back. So this tournament is Shodai and Asunayama, who are both performing well right now, and I expect both of them to get their Kachikoshi and get out of Katoban. So next tournament, you can come back, not have to worry about demotion. But now Takakesho is going to get, I'm guessing he's going to get his eight losses pretty quickly. And then he'll get dropped down, or he'll just go into Katoban status, probably lower Ozeki. He'll be Ozeki to East. And then he has to get his at least eight wins to stay up there. So hopefully if he's injured, it's not a major injury that's going to keep him out any extended period of time, because I don't want to see him get, like, I don't want the Takayasu effect, Taran and Fuji, like, dropping out, and then you have to fight way back up again.
Yeah.
Because then he'll need 10 wins to get back up, and Asunayama did that. He did get his 10 wins to get back up into Ozeki. But, yeah, I think Takakesha could. I just don't want to see him have to.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's tough with the guys you really like, too. That's the thing, another thing about this sport is, like, I don't know, I find it harder to detach than, like, I don't know, when the Bruins are playing poorly, I can just be like, oh well, like, Tuukka had a good game, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's easy to kind of,
it's a team effort where, like, and you can pick out, like, a, like, the team overall didn't perform well, but you can pick out one person. But here it's like it's an individual that you attach to.
Yeah
and you're just like, yeah, well, didn't look good.
It's kind of, yeah. It's kind of a bummer. Honestly. So I don't know, we'll see how he does. Hopefully he rebounds, and I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, going into he's definitely done this tournament. I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls out.
Yeah, I mean, after that many losses, it's probably just worth it. Like,
yeah,
not fighting well, whether it's injury or not, maybe it's just mental. Take the tournament off, come back in March,
yep.
figure it out, get your eight wins, get out of Katoban. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. And Asunayama, the opposite of Ozeki, mm-hmm. Is doing okay. Losses to Daisho, again, who's tearing it up. Yeah. Mataki Umi and Takara Fuji. So, again, not slouches, but ones that I feel like he could have won. Especially Mataki Umi. I feel like that's with the way Mataki Umi's been fighting, I feel mm-hmm. like that's one he should have taken away for sure this tournament.
Yeah, and he's... Once again, he's one of the Katoban Ozeki. He's got to get his eight wins. Mm-hmm. Lots of pressure to make sure he stays where he is. But I'm happy that, you know, both of them bounced back. Like I said, I don't like seeing guys get dropped down. But yeah, overall, he's looking like he's having a good tournament. I didn't really expect him to bounce back and win the tournament.
Right. Yeah, I don't think either of us really expected him to go all the way. But
no, I mean, he is part of this really, really crowded 5-3 section, which, I mean, looking at the 5-3 guys is two or three guys that I would consider potential winners. I think the tournament's going to be won by someone who's currently either 8-0 or a 6-2 group.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the 5-3, maybe people in there, Asanayama, Taranofuji could win it. He's won it in the past. I'd like to see Takayasu once again. I'm always pulling for him to win. Mm-hmm. Onosho maybe, but I mean, anyone else in that 5-3, I'd probably consider not a legitimate shot, but I'd put Asanayama in a
Meise, chance. Yeah, Meise at 6-2 is kind of interesting.
Yeah, this is
it's so, kind of a surprise. I didn't really, middle of the pack guy. I've seen him around a bunch. He's, you know, bounced between lower Magashira. He was upper Magashira briefly last year, but has even dipped down into Juryo. Definitely not someone I expected to be. And again, 6-2 is not necessarily a great leaderboard position, but on the leaderboard nonetheless.
Yeah, and he's looked good. For 6-2, he's looked good. And this is his second best start he's had. He was 7-1 back in September of 2019. He ended up finishing that 10-5. So once again, it's that, you know, you have two losses in the first 8 days where you kind of finish, and, you know, he's finished at 10-5. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, if he gets another 10 wins, it's good for him. Bounce him back up into the top ranks, move some of the guys like Kotoshoho will drop down. Hokuto Fuji is probably a good candidate to drop down.
A lot of room at the top after this tournament, that's for sure.
Yeah. Tochi Noshin. Endo's currently 4-4. Whatever. For Endo, if he starts 4-4, he's only got a winning record 2 out of 6 times. So, you know, some guys struggle early on and then come back later. But I don't know. But yeah, Meisei's looked good at 6-2. We'll see if he can stick with it through the rest of the tournament, though.
Yeah. I think that's my biggest surprise right now. I did not see that coming. I don't know if anyone has ever, like, I'd call you a liar if you were like, oh yeah, Meisei's got this.
I think he might have been like a sleeper pick before. Like, if you had said that before the tournament that Meisei could win it, I'd be like, what happened? But yeah, and you know, Magashiros have only won 32 times out of the 500 matches so far. 500 tournaments, so they're a very, very low percentage of, you know, a chance to win, which is funny because they're actually the most amount of ranked wrestler, the rank file. Yeah. You would think that their number would be at least somewhat higher, but fun fact, it is higher than Sekiwake winning. Sekiwake only has 29 wins. Magashira has 32 in 500 tournaments.
Interesting.
So yeah, we'll see if we can add to that Magashira number this tournament or not.
Yeah. I think there's a good chance that that's going to happen, but
yeah, I would say my surprise guy at 6-2 is Akiseyama. We mentioned that briefly. He only had 4 wins, I think, in his debut tournament several years ago. But he's 6-2. I don't really think he'll stay there, but I mean, if we're talking about anyone who's kind of a, wow, I didn't expect that. Yeah. It's Akiseyama for me.
Yeah, no, it's probably even a better pick, I would say, than mine. I had kind of, because we're talking about his age and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really take that into account, but yeah, that's it's also a pretty good sleeper pick there.
Yeah, and I think Tokushoto last, who won it in January of last year, I also didn't realize that he's a little bit older too when he won. So, you know, age isn't a huge concern, but when he won last year, he was 33. Not 35, but you know, for your first tournament, I'd like to see that too. Like, what's the oldest first year winner, like first time Basha winner, you know, how old was the oldest potential? Like, because, you know, 35, I feel like could take the cake for a first time winner, but maybe Tokushoto did it when he was 33 for his first win. But
I don't know. Kotoshigiku was 30.
It would have been 31, I think.
31, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
31, 32 when he won. But
yeah, and speaking of Kotoshigiki, he was actually, we didn't mention this, right?
No, we haven't talked about this, actually.
I'm following mostly the NHK English broadcast, but for day 8, I decided to tune into the Japanese broadcast, and he was doing, I don't think it was play-by-play, but I think he was just kind of a guest announcer, kind of talking about his experience with some of the wrestlers that were there. I don't know what the conversation was, but it was still nice to hear him. He looked, I'm still not used to now Hideo Yama being in a suit and tie. Yeah. So used to him just being in the Mawashi and wrestling in the ring. So it was a sight to see, and I was excited to see him on the broadcast. He seems like a natural from what I could tell. It sounded like he knew what he was talking about, which is good because he's been around for a while. But
yeah,
wanting to get into coaching. Yeah,
well, he did well on camera when we were hanging.
So. Yeah, no, yeah, he's good in front of a camera. Yeah, I shouldn't.
He was showing us up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we don't have the on air experience that he does just in general. I mean, he's won a U show, so he knows pressure, and that's the most amount of camera I guess you could be on.
I was just trying to make sure I didn't screw up my chopsticks.
That's why I'm glad that I've always practiced eating all sorts of weird stuff with chopsticks for some reason. But yeah, that was like one thing I was like, I hope I don't forget how to use chopsticks all of a sudden. Like I get like camera fright and I'm like, how do I use these things? Because I think I don't want to go too far in this because I'd like to have an episode about this, but did they offer us silverware?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think they had it like next to it just in case we wanted to, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep it traditional. I'm going to enjoy this. If I look like a goof, guess what? We just did all sorts of stuff that was interesting.
Yeah. No, that was, I'm glad. Yeah. I was not going to take the silverware there. Even if I had no idea what I was doing, I would have gone with the chopsticks over the silverware.
Yeah. Yeah, just it looks good on camera. It looks like, oh, we're using chopsticks. Those guys are good.
Yeah, they'll edit if I had screwed anything up.
That's so true. Yeah, I don't think we dropped anything. I think it was pretty clean.
We were pretty good. Yeah.
It was a good experience.
I just wish they put the beer zinger on there. But
yeah, it was pretty funny because, I get so excited about this. And I think in February we'll probably do this because it'll be 2 years since we've met everybody.
Yeah, we keep saying, I think every episode we say we're going to do.
I think we should really. I think now that we're coming up on 2 years, I think it's a good time. It's between Basho's, we'll get an episode in.
Yeah.
Cool. But I don't think there's anyone else that I want to mention. I know some of your, Toby Zaru struggling a little bit. 3-5.
Yeah, I was going to briefly bring him up, but he's just so flaily. It makes me so sad because I don't know. I feel like I got really attached to him when he was first kind of moving up the ranks, and I just feel like he's so much better than he's fighting. He's so much more technical. I don't know what happened, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he just needs some more. That could just be that, you know, he's still a little green. Still needs some time to just mature in the upper ranks, and maybe he'll be able to find his zone. But
yeah, I forget if it was him or not, but I know there was another kick, and he had kicked last tournament too. He like had like not even like a like I'm gonna sweep your leg. It was more of like I'm gonna kick you right in the shin, and you're gonna feel this. I don't remember if it was him. I don't think I noted it, but I remember it because like I haven't seen it ever, and then all of a sudden I've now seen it in back to back tournaments, and I want to say it was him who did like another like lower ankle leg kick in order to try and get the win, but I forget. I'm kind of sad that I didn't note it, but yeah, I saw it and was like, is this a UFC match? Speaking of UFC, I think one last thing. Did you day three, it was who was it, is it Hokuto Fuji, who I think, who got bloodied? He ended up busting his nose and just gushed blood.
Oh, I didn't see that. No.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah. So it was Hokuto Fuji against Takakesho day three.
I didn't notice it, at least. I don't know. I vaguely remember someone wiping blood from their face, but it didn't seem like someone was busted open. So maybe I was seeing Takakesho or something, because maybe he had some blood on him.
He did have blood on him. Probably when he was walking away, he had a little on his chest. But yeah, Hokuto Fuji he had like a busted nose.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was like, it was really bad. Lots of blood. I think most blood I've ever seen from a fight.
Really?
Yeah, and I think day four, I saw someone had talked about this on Twitter, that like Taranu Fuji like busted a tooth or something like that.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like really weird, like back-to-back days of, you know, freak injuries. Like just, yeah, you'll have to check out that day three, Hokuto Fuji
breaking breaking your tooth on the body of another human being sounds awful for both parties.
I think it was a tooth, but yes, in either case, that is very painful.
Oh,
and would not want to do that.
But yeah. So before we go, I think we'll do our usual Nakabe prediction. So who do you think's gonna take it?
I'm gonna stick with Daisho. I think he's performing out of his mind right now. I don't, I mean, he, the fact that you beat everybody in Senyaku, like that already sets the precedent that, okay, you got your seven hardest, your theoretical seven hardest fights out of the way. You really only need five of your last eight to win it. 13-2 is a really, really good record. It's a good percentage of people who end up going on to win. So I guess I'll just stick with the obvious choice, Daisho. If I had to, if I guess if I had to go with like a semi sleeper pick of someone who could bounce in there, yeah, I'll stick with my pick. I'll just go with Daisho.
I was gonna go Daisho too. I think you're a fool just trying to force anything else in there. I
Yeah.
think this is, I hate, I've said it like twice now, but this is in relation to other people, but this is Daisho's tournament to lose.
Yeah.
I think this is he's in such a commanding lead right now and looking so good that I think he's just gonna he's not gonna run away with it, but he'll take it.
Yeah, your 6-2 group right now, Shodai, Meisei, Kiribayama, Akiseyama. I don't see Kiribayama sticking in there, but if he does, good for him, young guy. I think he'll probably finish with 10 wins. Maybe from that group, Shodai. I mean, he won the tournament. You
Yeah,
know,
if
just
anybody's going to beat Daisho, if there comes down to like some sort of playoff or something, Shodai probably has your best chance out of that group.
Yeah, and Shodai did lose to him already since he's, you know, part of the Senyaku.
Oh,
But yeah, Shodai, yeah. So he's already beat him once at least, but I mean, who knows? Maybe you get him in the second match. Shodai might have been nervous. You know, he's coming off of an injury. But yeah, so Shodai just won back in September. So if there's maybe a guy who could sneak up in the 6-2, because once again, really all it takes is that one loss for them to be knocking on your doorstep again. You have a nice lead, but maybe you get a little nervous with one loss, and then you kind of start to falter. But yeah, Daisho's my guy. I'll go with him.
I will also go with Daisho. So with that, I think we will wrap episode 11. I feel like we didn't really celebrate 10 episodes because I never thought we would actually do like five, let alone 10.
Yeah,
I
no,
will
11.
celebrate the 11th episode.
Yeah, I think this might be. I'm trying to think if our like pilot episode where we did like an introduction was technically an episode. We'll just consider this 11. We'll call
Yeah,
it
I think
an episode.
the pilot one I think was
It was an
mostly
intro.
like
Yeah, we
so
got into the real details of starting to talk about sumo in episode one. But
yeah, we're in double digits now,
yeah,
so
I'll take double digits.
I'll take that. We probably have about double digit listeners, maybe. I don't
Yeah.
know, that might be hopeful or wishful thinking, but
If you do want to listen to us, you can check us out on.
such a good segue.
Yeah, I know, right? I didn't even have it planned. It just came to me naturally. Check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Google Play as well. We're not on Amazon yet, but I'm working on that. Twitter is at Super Sumo Bros, Super Sumo Pros, and our website is supersumobrothers.com. You can check out our playlist there as well.
Smash that like button, subscribe,
Yep, in the
and
comment section below, you know, all
yeah.
the vlog terms. But yeah, smash that subscribe button if you want to hear more and get updates when videos are posted.
Videos and audio
Oh,
and
audio, yeah. I say videos on. I got thinking about YouTube right now. Yeah.
we're in the YouTube zone right now, but anyway, thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you in
8 days.
roughly 8 days.